because 2 years ago when I started my seminary journey, I was a very, very different person in a very, very different place. And it's an honor to be able to stand up here and glorify God in front of everybody here today. And I'd like you to join me in prayer quickly, please. Father God, I thank you that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has prevailed. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already here, that you've already shown up in a mighty way. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless this message. I pray, Father God, that all of the words that are spoken here today would glorify your name, and that you and you alone would be high and lifted up in this place. Holy Spirit, come and take over. Come and take over me. Come and take over this place. Come and take over each one of our spirits, Lord God, that we would not leave this chapel the same as when we came in, but that we would be transformed by the beauty of your holiness in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess it was in December maybe or January, I'm not really sure, but Krista emailed me and she's like, Amy, would you like to preach in chapel? And I was like, yes, please. And so as soon as she emailed me, I was like, I just said yes, please, and I have absolutely no idea what in the world I could possibly bring to people who have PhDs in biblical studies. And what could I possibly bring to people who have taught me? What can I teach? And God was just like, you know, Amy, Krista asked you to talk about journey groups. So what are journey groups? Journey groups are a part of the process. A part of the process of transformation. You know, going to classes and doing your homework is a part of the transformation process. Taking your exams and coming to chapel and going to journey groups and praying, whatever. It's all part of the process of transformation. And so today I'm going to talk about the process of transformation because I certainly have been a recipient of that transformation since I came to seminary. And the first quote, if you will, that the Holy Spirit gave me was, no one is exempt from the process. If you want to be who you were created to be, you have to go through the process. And Dr. Terry Wardle says it so well and so eloquently when he says it's like being pulled through the knot hole backwards, because that's exactly what it's like. And it's agonizing. You cry your eyes out. It hurts. And there are days when you're just like, Lord, I can't do this. I can't go on. I can't do this anymore. And he's like, come on now. And he gives you a little nugget of glory. And you're like, oh, yes, now I can do it. Okay, come on. Let's do this. And so God gave me this scripture in Mark because Jesus went through the process. He was born as a little baby just like we were. Now, keep in mind, yes, okay, he's the Son of God and we, you know, aren't, but that's okay. He still went through the process because the way had to be prepared for Jesus through the prophets. All through the Old Testament, you can see where the way was being prepared for Jesus. And then John the Baptist was preparing the way. He was proclaiming. He was making the path straight. He was preparing the way for the Lord. And then when Jesus came, all of a sudden, it was clear, that's the one. And John knew it right away. He knew who Jesus was, right? And so John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus to be baptized, right? And we never just arrive. Someone's been preparing the way for each one of us. There have been people praying for me. There have been people agonizing with God over my life, praying for me, raising me, preparing the way for me to be who I was created to be, right? And so the process that Jesus went through, okay, John the Baptist prepared the way, right? And then Jesus was baptized. He was cleansed. He was washed in the living water. And then what happened? And then Jesus comes up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. The heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when you have that experience, it changes your life. When you see the heavens open up and you hear God saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. I mean, Jesus, all he had to do was show up. At that point, he hadn't even done anything yet. He hadn't witnessed anybody. He hadn't preached the gospel. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't engaged in the ministry process at all. Right here, he was getting to know himself in God. He already knew he was the Son of God. But this was an affirmation of who he is so that he could know God, but also know who he is in God. Excuse me. So, he's knowing God, and he's knowing who he is in God. And it's in the knowing that he's able to become who he was created to be. And so Jesus hears the voice of God, and he has that affirmation from Dad. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my mom could tell me 150 times, oh, that was great, hey, well done. But when Dad spoke up and said, yeah, that was pretty good, I'm pretty proud of you, there was just something different about that. When you get Dad's affirmation, there's something different about that. You know, you walk around, ooh, yeah, come on now, you know? It's something to be proud of. And Jesus knew who he was in God. And it says, and then the Spirit immediately, not 20 minutes, not half an hour, not 3 months, not 3 years, but immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. When you're going through the process, your knowing has to be tested to make sure that you really got it. The teacher is always quiet during the exam, right? Okay? So when I go in and I'm taking my little exams or writing my essays or whatever, the teacher's not there saying, oh, Naeem, did you think about this? Or, hey, what about that? Hey, what about this one over here? No. Teacher is silent to see what have you learned and what do you know, right? Okay? So when Jesus goes out into the wilderness, he goes out, the Spirit's with him, but God takes a step back and says, hang on now, let's see. Let's see. And then Jesus is tempted by Satan. And he's tempted in three different ways. And he's tempted in what he knows about God, who he is, who his being. And then Satan tries to give him the whole kingdom without doing anything. Right? So we're talking about knowing, being, and doing, and going through the process, okay? So Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, and he comes out, and the angels minister to him, and he doesn't fall into sin. He doesn't fall into the temptation, right? He doesn't give in to the wiles of the devil, right? And it's after he goes through the temptation that he goes and he starts proclaiming the good news. In verse 14, it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Right? So Jesus had to have the way prepared for him. Right? And then he had to go through the process of being baptized and being affirmed by God and who he is in God and who God is to him. And then once he went through that process, then he had to go through the temptation process, which, P.S., that's like every day for me. I don't know about you, but I get tempted on all sorts. And he goes through the temptation process. And then once he comes out of that temptation process, the angels minister to him. Now, I can definitely testify that there have been some trials and tribulations just in seminary that I've gone through where at the end, the angels came and ministered to my soul, and I needed it because I was on my face on the floor, wiped out, could not stand in my own strength, but God came in a mighty powerful way, right? And so Jesus goes through this process, and we have a process to go through, right? And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, there's a part of it that says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You have to know your God in order to be strong or be who you were created to be. And then once you know God and you know who you are in God, then you can go and do what he's called you to do because it's all a process. And if you try to go and do before you've got this all worked out, knowing God and knowing who you are in God, then it's not going to bear the fruit that it could bear had you gone through the process, right? So as a Christian ed student, I've learned all sorts of interesting little tactics and ways to use illustrations, and today I have an apple, and I was actually sitting up last night working on the sermon, and God was like, go get an apple at the store, and I'll tell you why in a minute, so I did. And so an apple has a few different components. It's got the seed in the center, it's got the core, it's got the flesh, and it's got the skin, right? So let me cut my apple open. This is like the OJ knife up here, my goodness. There we go. Okay. So I've got my apple, and I'm going to come around and I'm going to show you something. So this is what God told me about the process. If you can find a sermon in an apple, God's working in your life, okay? I'm just saying, okay? So we've got some seeds up in here, right? We've got some seeds in here. And we've got, like, the hard, like, nasty core part that you can't eat because it's, like, all nasty and chewy and ugh, right? And then you've got the nice little fleshy part that's the nice flavor and it's nice to eat, juicy, whatever. And then you've got the skin, right? And what God showed me about the process with the apple, this is kind of interesting, is that we all have a pretty shiny skin on the outside, right? We're really good at playing church. We're really good at saying the right things. And when I came to seminary, I knew all the right things to say. I knew all the right ways to pray. I knew what the Bible said. I knew, but I didn't know. I didn't know, right? And in the last 2 years, I've had that little 6-inch, 8-inch, whatever journey where it went from my heart or from my head to my heart. And now I know God, right? So we've got all this pretty shiny stuff on the outside, right? Okay. But what's really underneath? What's in our flesh? Because the flesh is all around. The flesh makes up the majority of the apple, right? So what's all around the core? It's the flesh. And what's in our flesh? Well, Paul talks about all the different issues that the flesh has in the New Testament. There's all sorts of indications that the flesh is not clean. The flesh is not of God. And we have to die to self. We have to take the flesh off and put on robes of righteousness, right? We have to wear the armor of God to keep ourselves safe, right? And to keep ourselves holy and clean and pure and keep that relationship with God right, okay? So we got to get rid of the flesh. And what do we do with the flesh? We eat it when we eat an apple. But we have to give it to God and leave it at the foot of the cross, right? So we got to get rid of the flesh. And then when you get rid of the flesh and you get rid of the frills and stuff on the outside, you're left with the core, with who you really are. You're left with the seeds, right? And God plants seeds in every single one of us. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us was created for such a time as this, right? And so we have to go through the process of having that skin taken away, and it's painful. It hurts. You got to go through the process of having that flesh taken away. You got to let it die. You got to let it go. You can't go back and get it. Because if you go back and take it back, then you got to work even harder to get rid of it again. It's like losing weight. Like, I'm one to talk, but it's like losing weight. You go, and I could go lose 50 pounds, but I'm telling you what, I like Dairy Queen, and I can't stay away from that place, so I'm probably going to put my 50 pounds back on at some point because I like to eat food, right? It's just like that. Sin is just like that, right? So you got to walk away from it and leave it and stay healthy, keep your relationship healthy with God. Otherwise, you're stuck in sin. You're stuck in the flesh. You're stuck. And you can't work on your core until you get rid of all this. You got to peel it all away, one layer at a time, like the onion, right? And so once you get to the core and God starts working on you, right, you got these seeds in there. Now, each of us have different types of seeds because there's all sorts of different types of trees, right? Some folk are pine trees. Some folk are oak trees. Some folk are apple trees, cherry trees, whatever, right? But they all serve a purpose, right? So you take one of these seeds out of this apple, and what do you get? You plant the seed into the ground, you're going to get an apple tree, right? It'll take some time. It has to go through the process. The seed has to go down into the ground, into the darkness, into the dark night of the soul, and it has to die in order to bring forth life, right? So we have to, when God gets into the core, and it hurts, it's agonizing, but when he gets into the core and he starts healing and he starts moving things around, starts shifting things about and taking things away, He replaces those things that we thought we couldn't live without with his glory, and then all of a sudden those things that he took away, it's like, hey, you know what? I don't even need that anyway. Whoo, hallelujah, I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? Come on now. So we've got all these seeds. You plant it in the ground, it dies, it starts to bear fruit. What happens? It turns into, this will turn into a tree. What does a tree do? It takes a long time to grow, and it doesn't produce fruit right away, right? And some trees, some fruit trees only produce fruit like every couple years. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a good way to think about Christianity, because you should be producing fruit all the time. But they have seasons where they bear fruit, and they have seasons where they're being fed, they're being nurtured, so that the fruit that they do produce is so brilliant that it feeds the entire flock, right? Feeds the entire congregation, right? So let's take our seed. We've planted it in the ground. We're watching it grow. We're watching the fruit come out on our tree now, right? We're going through the process. And for us, the process starts with knowing God. And I have to say that I was really skeptical when I started seminary about how much I would really get to know God through all of the academics. But I have to say that in my Old and New Testament classes, I have learned more about who God is than I have in my entire life, going to church and you know, reading books and whatever. I have learned more in the last 2 years in my Bible classes and in my Christian ed classes and in my spiritual formation classes than I have learned in my entire life about who God is, because he was able to come into the core of my being and remove the lies and the seeds of doubt and the seeds that had been planted by the enemy, and he was replacing those with seeds of hope, with seeds of promise, right? And he's helped me to see myself through his eyes and not through the eyes of myself or other people, right? Because I've had people my whole life tell me who they think I am or who they think I should be, or, you know, speak lies over my life about my identity or whatever. But my identity is found in Christ, because he has come into the core and he's put seeds of righteousness in there, right? I've gone through that process, and it's an ongoing process. I'm not going to be done with my process until I go home and say, amen, take me home, Jesus, right? But as I go through the process, the seeds are being planted and the fruit is being produced. The sermons are building up inside me. The lessons to teach my kiddos are there. They just come to me. I just pray, Lord, give me something to speak about. Boom, there it is. I don't even have to wait usually. It's just there. And he speaks and he works. And it's him working in us. It's him working through us. It's not me. Because in me, I know what I'm like. In me, I'm nothing without Christ. Jesus is the rock upon which I stand. And when we go through that process, we know God. And when we know God, we can be who we were created to be. And then when we are being who we were created to be, then we can go and do what we were called to do. Because if you're trying to do what you were called to do, and it's not working out, go back to the process. What's not working? Why is it not working? Where have I gone wrong? Why am I going around this mountain 800 times? Believe me, I have asked those questions myself. And God's like, hey, you got to surrender to the process. You have to do it my way, not your way. I'm a Burger King kid, right? I want it done my way, right? And I want it done like right now. I'm in the drive-thru. Come on, 30 seconds, job done. Let's go. And he's like, no, it doesn't work that way, babe. Nope. You got to go through the process. And, you know, sometimes you can peel an apple and take the skin off. You can eat the flesh away or cut the flesh away and have your core. But you know what? It's really hard sometimes. That flesh wants to come back so bad. You know, and there's times when the enemy, he can deceive us into going back into our fleshly ways. But, you know, the core, is Christ. The core is the truth of who we are. And even when we fall off the horse, we just get back up and keep on riding and say, you know what, Lord, I really screwed that up. That was my bad. Forgive me, and I am not going back there again. Because, you know, when you know God, all of a sudden, you realize how much your sin hurts his heart. Because when you really know somebody, you can't help but love them. And not just like an airy-fairy, you know, whatever Valentine's Day love. I'm talking about a real, true compassion and love for somebody when you really know them. And God really knows us, and he wants us to really know him, so that our hearts are filled with so much love for him that when we go and we have a choice to make in choosing sin or in choosing the world and choosing Christ, that we would choose Christ every time because we love him so much that we can't imagine what our life would be like without him. We can't imagine hurting him in that way. And so the seeds are life-giving. And God wants to infuse us with the life of the Holy Spirit, breathe into us new life, that we would be able to know him and to be who we were created to be, so that we can go and do what he's called us to do. And in my time at seminary, it's been a rough road. I'm very tired. I'm very tired. But Paul says, you got to finish strong. Keep fighting. Go on. Finish the race. Come on now. And I just keep telling myself, I'm like, okay, it's the last week. I still got another paper to write and two papers to write. Come on. But you know, Christ is saying, aim. I got you here, and I'm going to get you through it. And look at where you were when you started, and look at where you are now. And you know, when I start thinking about what God has done in my life, and I start thinking about what how Jesus has just moved and transformed, I can't help but get excited. I start preaching to myself in the shower, driving down the road. I got pulled over by the State Highway Patrol the other day because I was singing this little light of mine in the car, right? Thank you, Jesus, right? Because I'm so excited about the fact that I'm not who I was. I'm excited about the fact that my core is no longer ugly and scary and needs to be hidden, but that I can say, hey, this is who I am. And I can be a little bit crazy sometime, right? I get a little excited about Jesus and get shouting and carrying on. Thank you, Jesus. But I get a little excited, but the core is he is mine and I am his. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what life throws at me. It doesn't matter who leaves or who stays. It doesn't matter what the world says, because I am his and he is mine. And he is the rock upon which I stand. So, spiritual formation is, this is my definition, surrendering to the process with the guarantee that you will be transformed. It's like, it's a win-win situation. It's like, okay, yeah, it's going to be a little bit rough sometimes, right? It's going to hurt. But you're guaranteed that you're not going to be the same as you went in as when you come out. I learned how to fly. The first time I flew with Christ, I was like, whoa, I know what it is to fly on wings like eagles. Now, before, I just read it, and I was like, well, that's crazy. And now I'm like, yes, ma'am, I know what that is. I know what it is to be completely free in Christ. I know what it is to be able to stand in the face of temptation and say, no, thank you, I want Jesus. I know what it is to have my heart broken and trampled on and to have God come in and heal it. I know what it is to have my world turned upside down and to be beyond hope. And then Christ comes in and says, aim, I'm still here. Look up. Don't look around. Don't look down. Look up. I'm here. So, where are you in your journey? And have you started the process of transformation? And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be rough. But there's also going to be some beautiful mountaintop moments that are so priceless that they are beyond description. So do you know God, or do you just know about God? And is your being, the core of who you are, your identity, is it safe in Christ? And what is it that he's calling you to do? Are you doing that? Are you at the place in the process where you should be doing that? So my challenge to you today is to think about where you are in the process. And to go to your prayer closet, go to your quiet place, and seek the face of Christ. And ask him to show you the mirror and show you what he sees when he looks at you. I'll tell you, the first time I experienced that, when I looked in the mirror and I saw my being the way that Christ saw it, I was just so overcome. I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you serious? But what about, and he's like, no, this is what I see. And You know, when I had my, this is a little story. When I had my kids, right, I lived in the UK, and I had my kids overseas. And right after I had my kids, they put them up in your arms, and they're just kind of like, just kind of laying there, hi, Mom. And the first time I looked in Rebecca's face, and the first time I looked in Luke's face, boom, love. I didn't see anything wrong. They were perfect. There was nothing wrong with my kids, and there still isn't, right? I don't care what kind of crazy things they do. I mean, they are nuts, and they know how to fight, and they know how to be irritating, whatever. But they're my babies, and I love them. I don't care what they do or what they say. They're my babies, and I love them no matter what. And, you know, Christ showed me. He said, that's what I see when I look at you. You're my baby. You're perfect. I don't care what you do or what you say. You are my baby. And that's what I see when I look at you. And I'm telling you, that changed my life. So the fruits that are yielded from a life surrendered to the process are indescribable. So what fruit are you bearing? What fruit are you producing? And will you join me on the journey to transformation into Christ-likeness? Because I promise you, you won't regret it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can call upon your name. We thank you, Lord God, that we can cry out to you. We thank you, Lord God, that regardless of the crazy circumstances we get ourselves into and the wrong choices that we make, that Father God, you are our Father and that you love us with an everlasting love. And Father, I pray, Lord, that that same spirit of awe, that same spirit of just pure love that was in the revivals in Wales in 1904, 1905. Father God, that same spirit would pervade this atmosphere, that your holy cloud of glory would come and fall upon us as we sing this last song, that your name would be high and lifted up, and that you and you alone would be magnified and glorified in this place. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would take the seeds that you've planted within us and produce much fruit for the glory of your kingdom and the glory of your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for the transformation that is continuing to take place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think we need an amen. Any amens out there? Any amens?